Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sanghvi Movers Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Sanghvi, Managing Director, Sanghvi Movers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sanghvi.
Thank you very much for the introduction, Rayo. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for attending our Q1 FY24 analyst and investor call. This is Rishi Sanghvi, Managing Director, and I have with me Mr. Shyam Kajale, who is the Joint Managing Director and Chief Financial Officer. So I will quickly take you through the highlights across the board and then open up for Q&A. In terms of financial performance, our top line for Q1 has grown to 147 crore, which is a 50% growth year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 15%. The net profit after tax was 42 crore, which is a 280% growth year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 24%. This represents a historical high for our company. During the quarter, we have showcased robust operating performance due to increase in business volume and coupled with a boost in pricing power. Our efforts on the EPC front are beginning to materialize, and we should see sizable growth in these business verticals in the upcoming quarters. For this quarter, the EPC business has contributed 5% to the top line. We have also secured orders worth 150 crore from eminent independent power producers, IPPs, in the renewable energy sector. The total order value translates to 539 MW of new capacity addition by our esteemed customers, and these orders will be executed till H1 FY25. Our EBITDA for the quarter has grown to 94 crore, which is a 180% growth year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 16%. EBITDA has improved primarily because of volume growth, pricing power, and persistent cost optimization efforts adopted by the company. Our average capacity utilization has increased to 84% for the quarter, with an average blended yield of 2.21% per month. This yield demonstrates the company's ability to close contracts with good pricing power, and this is notwithstanding the fact that the majority of the CapEx has been incurred in brand new cranes, which typically translates to lower yields. Here, I would like to give a word of caution. I would like to inform everyone that our crane capacity utilization may come down in the next quarter on account of heavy rains across the country during the monsoon period. This may impact the numbers for the next quarter. However, we feel that for the last two quarters, our capacity utilizations will be restored to the current levels. On the international front, due to lack of business opportunity in Vietnam and robust demand for cranes in the domestic market, the board has approved to voluntarily wind up our wholly owned subsidiary of SML, incorporated in Vietnam. Now, in terms of growth, we have strengthened our position by adding 23 new cranes and six multi-axle lines in our portfolio, having incurred a CapEx of 242 crore during the quarter. A majority of the CapEx has been put to use directly from docks to the job sites, and we will continue to experience incremental revenue for the top line in the remaining three quarters. Furthermore, the board of directors in yesterday's board meeting has approved a revised CapEx plan of 297 crore for the full year, which will be utilized for buying new cranes in the light of increasing demand. Finally, our order book stands at 450 crore as of 1st August 2023, which will be executed until the end of this financial year. I would now like to open up the floor to Q&A and hand it back to Rayo. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Deepak Sankar Narayan from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. And congratulations for a great set of numbers. So firstly, on yield front, so yield of 2.21%, is it a reflection of higher contribution of wind power segment or lesser competitive intensity in the field?
Hi, so good afternoon. So as we have mentioned, yields are flat across all sectors. The yield going up is a function of demand for cranes. The fact that there is a lot of focus on infrastructure development across the country, and that all core sectors like steel, thermal power, renewable power, nuclear power, cement, railways, metros, bridges, all core sectors are firing on all cylinders.
Okay, okay. And do we have a scope for increasing these yields better? So I think in the previous cycle, we used to have 2.4 to 2.6% kind of higher yield. So is that possible to reach again, given the very strong capex recovery cycle we are seeing currently?
So historical yields were achieved due to a healthy overtime. Of late, because of the competitive landscape, the terms and conditions negotiated by the customers with rental agencies, the general industry trend has shifted to no overtime. So what you were mentioning, 2.5 to 2.6%, may not be achievable now, but the management is confident that we will have yields around 2%.
Okay, okay. So the current CapEx plans, is it enough for us to meet the demand for over next 2 years, or we are further looking at increasing the capacity for it?
So the CapEx plan of 297 crores has been approved by the Board of Directors for this financial year, of which we have already executed 242 crores. And all of this, a majority of this CapEx has already been put to use and is contributing to the top line. So going forward, subject to board approval, the management will take the necessary decision at that time.
Okay, okay. And we are seeing a sharp increase in our EPC contribution from this wind power and also the other power segment. So what kind of margins in this segment is possible, and so what kind of margins achievable in this segment?
Sham?
On consolidated basis, that is wind and project EPC put together, we expect EBITDA margin between 30% to 35% based on the recent EPC contract that we have executed. See, in EPC business, as you know, you cannot expect a margin more than 30% or 40% considering the trend.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, we are not executing the entire EPC project. Currently, we are just servicing one of the element of that EPC, which is a C element, that is a construction element, which includes supply of manpower, tools and tackles, spares, forking and alignment in equipment erection activities. While in wind EPC, we are just providing allied services like surface logistics, intercarting, supply of manpower for erection and commissioning of WTG, that is up to mechanical erection. And also we are doing WTG foundation. We are not doing the entire EPC as such, because EPC itself is a very vast subject and we are not doing anything relating to engineering and design or procurement of equipment.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Yes, thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Poti from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and great set of numbers. I think probably the best quarter we've had in a very long time. So congratulations on that. Just following up on EPC, right? One question I have is, will we do the seed thing that we're doing right now in places where our cranes are not deployed or the customer doesn't want cranes, but just the seed part of our expertise? Will we do that? That is the first part. And the second part of the question is, when you mentioned the order book of 450 crores, does that include the EPC part of the business as well? And if it does, where do you see our EPC part of business, the contribution to the total revenues go over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so I'll take the first question. Typically what we look for in EPC contracts is what we call as composite work. So crane has to be an integral part of the business, of the order. We have secured 150 crores worth of EPC contracts which need to be executed, which roughly translates to around 550 megawatts of new capacity addition. Now 50% of this order value is in crane. And typically going forward, we will like to maintain that crane be an integral part of the EPC business that we are looking at, or rather the construction business that we're looking at. With respect to the order book, yes, it is 450 crores. And Shyam, I do believe that includes the EPC numbers, correct?
Yes, it is including EPC contracts.
How much is the EPC part of the 450 crores?
See, currently it is roughly around 42 crores, but on year on total on yearly basis, we may achieve turnover of 50 crores for this current financial year.
Okay, 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 understood. So you see this 5% EPC go up to 10% is what you were indicating, right?
Yes.
Understood. So, I mean, probably more in the annual general meeting, but in the annual report, it seemed to indicate that so far, our revenues have been very heavily linked to the capex that we do, right? I mean, we put more cranes and we generate more revenue of the gross block. It seemed to indicate that we might be doing more of business along these EPC lines. Is that right? I mean, could you speak more about that? Do we see a non-gross block related revenue base for the company increasing this time?
You can take the question.
Yeah, so of the total capex we have done, it has been majority of it has been for incremental capacity addition. So incremental capacity addition obviously means purchasing of cranes, which adds to the top line on the crane business. For non-revenue, non-gross block related revenue growth, it may come, but again, there the margin is significantly lower and in single digits. So the EBITDA margin will come down for any non-gross block related EPC revenue.
No, no. So fair enough. So what I was trying to understand was that some of the resolutions in the annual report, coupled with the fact that our EPC business is growing, so historically, Sanghvi revenues have been linked to the gross block of the company. Do you see yourself or do you see us broad-basing our revenue base from just capex sources to non-capex? I mean, it might be EPC, it might be something else also. Do you see something else happening? Do you see the EPC scope broadening for us down the line?
As of today, 50% of the EPC orders that we are taking will be linked to our core business, which is cranes. Going forward, it's very difficult to comment on how that would evolve. But in a directional sense, we would like to generate some amount of revenue of the top line, which is not capex related.
Understood. Fair enough. So that's it from me for now. Thank you so much, and appreciate the conference call. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my question and congratulations on good numbers. Sir, my question again relates to EPC work. So you said that 30-35% of margin you can do. So that is including crane plus EPC together you when you do the job of say 150 crore order what you got. There you can do that type of margin.
Is this EBITDA margin? The question is, was what kind of margin you foresee in EPC business? So my answer was this EBITDA margin of 30-35% is excluding the crane rental because crane business is having different EBITDA margin and the EPC business what we are doing right now is generating EBITDA margin between 30-35%. So this is excluding crane rental.
Okay, fine. So pure play 50 crore, if you are looking at doing the revenue in this crore, then this year, then 30-35% on that.
Correct.
Okay, great. That is very great, sir. And second thing about since you had a high share of wind in this year, this quarter, now moving up, is there, you are looking to limit that so you don't want to go over that particular percentage of wind business or there is not a problem at all? Because last, historically, we had gone up to 70% and then we had seen a fall in that particular line of business and we got impacted.
So I'd like to reiterate that yields are flat across sectors. So as far as a crane rental company, we are agnostic to the sector that we cater to because more or less yields are flat across sectors. What we do look at as a strategy while building our order book is to focus on crane utilization as yield is flat across sectors, build up a healthy order book, and then take in on a first-come-first. So in order to do that, we take in customers on a first-come-first-serve basis. We also look at things such as creditworthiness of the customer, the duration of the contract, the location of the cranes, our operating costs, etc., etc., and then take a call on who it is that we choose to give the crane to in the industry. Now, the exposure to the wind sector is going up because wind as a overall as an industry is adding a lot of capacity. The expected capacity addition will be anywhere between 3 to 4 gigawatts this year, which is a significant increase from the previous year. Going forward, depending on how all the other sectors perform, management will take a strategic call on how to on what percentage of revenue will come from each of these sectors, again, keeping a focus on capacity utilization and yield.
Okay. And
Nirmal, I would like to add a few more clarification on this. See, recently SECI has scrapped the method of bidding for wind sector. We saw a quantum jump in the investment and erection of windmills all over India. Government has set an aggressive target of nearly 8 gigawatt wind installation on annualized basis. And going forward, this has ensured the robust demand for cranes from this sector. As of today, that is till 30th June, based on the information available, in India already 1.13 gigawatt wind installation already happened. So you can take a clue based on this number ki how much wind installation is likely to happen in the current financial year and going forward.
Okay, great, sir. And just a last question. In this EPC, what is the working capital cycle? Means how much debtors or day is there involved with that?
See, normally, we allow credit period of 30 to 45 days maximum. And since the crane is also integral part of the EPC contract, normally these clients, they honor their payment commitment. And as Rishi has already mentioned, we are working with eminent independent power producers. So payment, getting a payment received from the client will not be a major issue as such.
See, most of these independent power producers are platforms which are backed by sovereign funds or pension funds or investment funds from abroad. The entire project risk and financial closure is completed before a single decision takes place on site. So we are extremely comfortable with our payment cycle with these customers, and therefore it has not put any additional burden on our working capital till date.
Okay, so
if you see the presentation that we have circulated, the cash credit utilization is zero for the quarter ended 30th June. That itself shows that even though this ETC business is working capital intensive, we are very cautious while giving cranes or doing this business.
Yeah, so as such, you'll be doing around 30-35% margin if we take about pure EPC business. And the money involved in that, even in working capital also, will be very low. So it will be very high ROC generating business.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Aditya Nahar from Altna Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rishi and Sham sir, for the conference calls. Rishi, I think you dropped off a little bit when you were giving your opening remarks. At least for a minute, you were I could not hear you. If you could just talk about what you were saying in terms of quarter two, you expect yields because of monsoon, and that's where you dropped off from. So if you could just repeat that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So this quarter we have seen a capacity utilization at 84% and with an average blended yield of 2.21%. As a word of caution, what I was trying to explain to everyone is that we are currently in the monsoon period and there are heavy rains across the country. So we see a slowdown in the deployment and demand of cranes in the second quarter. And this may have an impact on the numbers for the next quarter. However, we are confident that in the last two quarters, our capacity utilization will be restored to our current level.
No, Aditya, just to add what Rishi has told, if you see the historical numbers, financial performance of the company last 4 years, Q2 numbers are always on the lower side as compared to Q3 and Q4. So this is not a unique case that we are seeing, except last year, last financial year, your Q2 number was reasonably good in comparison to Q1 and Q3 and Q4. But if you see the financials for last 4-5 years, now Q2 turnover was always on the lower side.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. The next question is from Chandresh Malpani from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So, sir, basically my first question is, like, the capex which we have done, so I wanted to understand in which category, is it basically on the tire side or the crawler side type of cranes?
So the capex breakup has been given in our investor presentation, and you can see the breakdown of cranes there.
These are all crawler cranes.
Okay, so you mean that this will be a long-term contract and that's why you are going into crawler?
See, there are 8 number 750 ton that we bought is crawler crane, and we bought almost 15 numbers tire-mounted telescopic crane, which is 110 and 160 ton capacity.
Okay. And sir, secondly, on the wind energy side, so our ground research suggests that the rentals have increased by 42% higher. So how do you see in the near term this trend going? And you are for wind installation, more than 800 tons of cranes, 800 ton capacity cranes will be required. So where are we as a in the industry?
Sorry, we could not hear you in between. I could not hear you actually.
Sorry, you're not audible. Can you please repeat yourself?
Okay, now I'm audible. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was on the wind energy side. So our ground level research suggests that the rentals are higher by 40 to 50%. So how do you see this trend going forward?
I don't know where from you got this information. As Rishi has told you, yields are flat, remain flat across all the sectors where the cranes are deployed. So,
okay, so like 50% of your cranes are deployed on wind, but the rentals more or less are same. That is what you are suggesting.
Correct.
Okay, okay. And lastly, on the like for wind, if you see like more 800 tons of capacity cranes are required. So if you can brief on that part also will be helpful.
So it's not that 800 ton capacities are required. Generally, the capacity of the crane is determined by the hub height. India's in 2007-8 was doing 70 and 80 meter hub height, and that has now gone all the way to 140 meter hub height. There is a mix between 600, 650, 750, and 800 ton capacities, and we are we have an adequate fleet mix to cater to all the demand that is coming from all these various hub heights.
Okay, so like the new 3 meter, like 140 or 125 meter above.
You're not on.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Mr. Malpani, I guess your cell phone is breaking up as in the middle when you're speaking.
Okay, no problem. My questions are answered. Thank you.
Sure, thank you. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. And congrats on good set of numbers. See, all the 23, have we sold any cranes? Because at the year end, we had 394 cranes, and with the addition of 23, we are still at 407 cranes. So has there been any sales or something like that?
See, we have sold 7 number cranes, and in the presentation, we have mentioned that we have added 23 cranes, but that is up to July 2023. But till June, we have added only 17 cranes, which has been capitalized. So that's why there is a difference actually. So we have sold, as to give you an answer, we have sold 7 cranes in the first quarter.
Okay. And any change of a capex target for FY24? Means, you have already done a significant portion.
The capex has gone up to 297 crores.
And this is also for what? Means for cranes only, the incremental 50?
For new cranes.
Okay. And how do we see, is there any debt equity ratio or any figure where you want to keep your capex committed? Because historically also we did capex big time and then the cycle just reversed. Okay, it may not happen in this year, but next year, and then we don't know. Okay. Infrastructure buildup is generally a cyclic business. So how are you thinking about managing risks?
Yeah. So our current debt equity ratio is 0.34:1. Based on the order visibility and the positive business outlook, and based on the repayment schedule that we have, we are in next 4 to 5 years, our average debt repayment obligation is only 75 crores. See, historically, if you look at the numbers, we have made average debt repayment of more than 100 crores. And currently, we see a lot of demand, not only from the wind sector, but from also the other sectors. So a lot of capex is happening, not only from the government side, but also from the private sector. So yes, your point is well valid. Ki in FY16 and 17, we did a huge capex, saddled with huge amount of debt. But that cycle was majorly different than what we are currently having. As I mentioned to you, because of the regulatory issues, more particularly with the wind sector, there was a major disruption happening in wind erection in India, and that has taken a huge toll not only for the wind sector in totality, but also to Sanghi Mohs also. But this time the business outlook and the overall sentiment and the order visibility is quite better than what it was in 2016 or 17.
So to add on, the debt to equity in 2016-17 was roughly 0.8 or 0.6?
0.78. Yes.
0.7. Today we are, even with a 300 crore capex in this financial year, our debt to equity still remains at 0.34. That is the first point. The second point that Shyam has mentioned and I would like to reinforce is that the average debt obligation repayment is less than 75 crores per year. Now, historically, in the last 5 years, we have repaid to the banks more than 100 crores. So even if you use the performance of the company during the last down cycle, we are still have adequate buffer in terms of our debt repayment obligations to the banks, and therefore our risk is mitigated by low yearly debt debt repayment installments to the banks.
Okay, and our debt the receivables have reduced from 99 to 83 days. It is because of change in mix, or it is from for EPC, are the receivables better, or what would be the reason for this fall?
No, this is average receivable days across all the sectors where the cranes are deployed, including EPC business. See, historically, these days have gone up to 150 days also. However, with rigorous payment follow and better control over the credit period that we are giving to our customers, receivable days have come down to 83 days. But on overall basis, the receivable days may likely to be remain between 90 days to 110 days going forward.
Okay. And one last question. You were saying that last time the orders would get delayed and hence the yields would be generally better. But if we look at this year and you are stating that rain has been prolonged, okay, or very heavy rains are there, and a lot of work is not happening, will not it lead to a similar situation which used to be there historically when this work at site would get delayed and hence better payments were there? Just a cue, though it's a short-term question, but just trying to understand.
Your question is, will the yields improve due to bunching up of demand?
Not bunching of demand, because a delay of orders or a delay of execution of
things. Yes, yield may go up, because if demand goes up, then your pricing power goes up.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Vivek Gautam from GS Investment, you may go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Mr. Gautam, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear. Are you able to hear to me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. You, let me just find out. Any capex lined up for the future, sir, number one? Number two, is there a potential tightness in the wind energy sector which may lead to potential rental increase? And what is the traction one is experiencing from C&I and green hydrogen sector, wind energy? And lastly, how is the size of the pond in which we are operating? So, our Maruti, can it become a Mercedes in years to come, or is it asset-heavy model so that it might be a bit difficult for us to become large in this sector, sir? Thank you.
So, we have already increased our capex size to 297 crores, as I have mentioned now already in this call, out of which we have executed 242 crores of capex, and a majority of this capex has been put to use directly from the docks to the job site. Could you repeat your second question, please?
Yeah, the second question was, is there a tightness in the wind energy sector, wind turbine sector, so that the potential rental increase can happen for us? Tightness in the wind energy sector, wind turbine sector, availability of a lot of big demand is there, so that our rental can increase.
I'm not able to understand your question. Shyam?
See, what
Hello?
Do we mean by tightness in wind sector? That we
tightness,
can,
what
mean
I
mean
to say
is
the big demand for wind turbines and
yes,
as such.
Demand
for our cranes.
Yes, to answer your question, the demand for wind turbines has gone up because the there is overall demand from independent wind producers from OEMs. And will that result in an increase in rental rates? It will result in an increase in demand for cranes. And based on the timing of the project, availability, competition, it may lead to an increase in rental rates, which may reflect in the yield in future. What was your third question, please?
This was regarding the, basically you answered it on the, due to the C&I and green hydrogen, the big demand is there for the wind energy. And so that is, I think, already answered. And lastly was about the size of the pond in which we are operating. Basically, the opportunity size for our sector in which we are, because we are the India's biggest crane producer, and but most of the market is still unorganized. And you mentioned in one of the past calls that almost 70-80% is still unorganized. So due to this GST implementation, other things, tailwinds again appear for us in this particular sector.
So again, what is your question? I could not able to.
My question is regarding the opportunity size for us. So if the what do you call in our investment terminology is the size of the pond. How is the opportunity size? And can we keep on growing at 15-20% CAGR in time to come?
Okay, see, as we are buying the cranes, our nearest competitor, they are also buying the crane because they also study the market, correct? So though we are the largest, all our competitors, say competitor number two to competitor number 10, they are also buying the crane. So overall market share in, of Sunbeam Movers Limited will remain more or less same. Although we are the leader in the heavy duty crane, which is 600 ton or 400 ton and above segment. So that will give some kind of added advantage over our competitors.
Okay, but you mentioned one of the past calls that still there is a lot of unorganized segment in the crane hiring. So we are the organized, we are among the biggest among the organized players. So with this GST and implementation and other things, so should not we be in a better position?
GST implementation is already done, sir. Whatever impact it had to have on the industry, it has already been accounted for.
Unorganized is also now 100% GST compliant, you mean to say?
Yes, absolutely. They don't work with the, our end customers will not work with them otherwise.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, thank you. Keep up the good work, sir. Very good numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ritesh Chedda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, wanted to understand the readiness of you and the industry with respect to this, the higher hub cranes, higher hub machines now, this 303.25 megawatt. So, in the past cycle, we had put up these large crane, large height crane. So, what happens to that block? Was it got utilized? And for this particular, do you have to put some new block or it's a fungible arrangement that you can make within your own machines today?
So I think what you're asking is if we purchase cranes for the lower
So first question is, there were a lot of these machines which were purchased in the past cycle, which were meant for the 70 or 80 meter hub heights. And now the industry is moving to 140 meter hub heights. So first of all, what has happened to that block of the machines of the 70 meter hub heights? And do you have machines today in your gross block to do the execution or site direction for the 3.25 megawatt?
Okay, so let's answer the first question. See, the beauty of cranes is that they are fungible across sectors. So they are used in steel, cement, thermal power, nuclear power, wind energy, oil and gas, petrochemical and refineries, railways, metros, bridges. And so across all these core infrastructure sectors, if a crane that was utilized for a lower hub height cannot do that hub height today, it is utilized in another sector. That is why we have achieved a 84% capacity utilization. Otherwise, the utilization numbers would be significantly lower. Therefore, these lower hub height cranes are fungible to different sectors and they have been utilized for them. To the second point, we are the largest crane rental company in India, Asia, and the sixth largest in the world. Now, we have a capabilities to do a 6 megawatt, 160 meter WTG erection. We already have those capabilities right now. We represent roughly 65 to 70% of the supply of cranes to the wind energy market.
Okay, so for this 4,000 megawatt of installation planned this year, let's say versus whatever 1500 megawatt at max or 1200 megawatt at max that industry would have done last year, do you have the necessary machines and the block in your balance sheet, or do you have to buy it?
No, we have. That's why we are doing a capex. We had done capex last year in anticipation of the demand from the sector. So we have enough capability to do the necessary hub height erections.
We have already invested 250 odd crores in purchasing cranes that are fungible not only for the wind sector but also the other sectors, and this is a part of the capacity building exercise that we have done in order to cater to this demand.
So let's say in the last 2 years, a large portion of the capex would have gone to get these machines for a higher height?
No, let me reiterate please. Cranes are fungible across all sectors.
So they can be used
in other sectors as well as these hub heights. And yes, we have built up capacity where we are owning about 65 to 70% of the market share to do these higher hub heights.
Rishi, I understand that they are fungible, but getting other industries might not need on a regular basis such heighted cranes, right?
We have 65 to 70% of the market share for higher hub heights is owned by Sanghvi Movers.
I'll take this separately. The other question is, let's say in the 250 crore capex that we have done in the first half, the first 3-4 months, any guess how much industry would have added at the same time? And what would be your market share?
Shyam?
See, our competitors also purchased some 750, 650 ton cranes from other players or the vendors. So our market share overall will remain between 50 to 55% overall market share, and more than 65% market share in 400 tons and above capacity cranes.
Okay. I'll just again clarify one thing. When you buy these now the higher hubs for 140 meter, 160 meter, is it safe? Can one assume that though they are fungible, but largely they might land up getting used in wind? And if wind projects were not there, then the utilization of these cranes would be lower.
Shyam, should I take that or you want to take that?
You take it.
I mean, when the overall capacity addition in the sector was low, we were still able to deploy those cranes in various infrastructure projects like petrochemicals. There is the HSR that has been taking under construction where these heavy-duty cranes are used to launch girders. There are power plants. There is about 10 gigawatts of power plants being built across the sector country. There's almost 100 million tons per annum of cement which is being added in this and next financial year, for which these cranes are required to complete the clinker and cyclone unit of a cement plant. So we see that there is sufficient demand beyond the wind industry for these cranes. Of course, not all components required for the wind industry may be used in alternate sectors, but definitely the crane itself would be used.
So which part will the yield get affected, or the number of days that these cranes get utilized gets affected? What gets affected? If not deployed?
So yield is flat across sectors. I mentioned this now number of times in the call.
and days of utilization if wind was not there.
Contract duration is similar, 6 months, approximately between 6 to 9 months.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's the beauty of the technology or the cranes that we own.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Saraswat, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So my first question is, can you talk a little bit on how the contracts work during the monsoon period? Do we get paid the rentals when cranes are not used also?
Sham?
So basically, when the crane is being given on rental basis, we get paid irrespective whether client uses the crane or not. But in case of heavy monsoon where no work can happen at the site, we allow certain amount of, leeway to our customers, and we give some kind of, waiver for certain days when there's extreme monsoon happen at the site. So because of that, there might be a drop in the utilization, which she was mentioning during his opening remarks. But in normal terms, whenever we give the cranes on rental basis, client is required to ensure the job for the crane. If the job is not available, we'll still get paid in normal situation.
Okay. So you mean that prices and the lease contracts don't vary, but the days you give them as a leeway, that brings down the utilization level?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for excellent set of results. My first question was regarding the capacity utilization from 84%. How far do you think it can be pushed to?
So Rajesh, historically we achieved capacity utilization in excess of 87-88%.
Right.
That is the maximum ceiling that we can achieve in terms of capacity utilization.
I'd like to clarify, like in our business, that when an equipment is in transit from A location to B location or the shifting job sites, then you basically lose out on the effective rental at that time. So I would say 90% utilization, 87% what is historic, is a theoretical 100% utilization.
Understood. And then on the EPC business, you said out of 450 crores of backlog, you have about 42 crores coming from the construction side, so which is about roughly, let's say, 10%. So do you see this proportion increasing as you get more of the construction projects as well, which are attached to a construction of a windmill?
Yes, we expect are you talking about this year or next year?
I'm talking about next year and the year after, because I think what you're trying to do is increase your non-gross block related revenue. So the attach rate will go up, right? So, for example, you are doing 50% of your revenue from the wind industries, right? And so therefore, and this proportion this quarter was only 5%. So where do you see it going? Like, do you see it going to be 25-30% of your total revenue, let's say, 3 years down the road?
So this year our EPC revenue seems to be anywhere between 5-10% of the entire top line. Next year we expect it to increase between 10-15-20% is the number. Again, I would not like to give forward guidance in terms of how far we are going to scale the EPC business. We are extremely cautious and conservative. We look at the type of project, the customer credit worthiness, the how the contract relates to our core business, what is the value add we can give to the customer, what are the constraints on our working capital, and then we take a very conscious decision on whether to enter the contract or not. So there's a lot that goes into it, but looking forward, it could be said that directionally, yes, EPC would have a larger percentage in the total top line.
Got it. And then you talked about the scope of the construction projects you take on. Can you also talk about the duration of them? Is it typically the duration of the contract that you have for the crane, or is it shorter? If you can just give some color on that.
So in wind EPC, the duration of the contract, the duration of the crane rental contract is typically the duration of the EPC contract, give or take 1 or 2 months for setting up the project and closing out the project. And it is similar in the project industry.
Okay. And what about the non-wind areas? Is it, are you doing it over there or not? And is it the similar kind of...
That is what we call as project EPC. So we are working in the heavy lift and equipment fabrication and structure. Those are a few things that we're focused on right now.
Okay. And just one clarification. You said you're doing CapEx of 297 crores or 300 crores this year. What was this number in the Q4 call? I just was trying to remember that. How much has it gone up?
It's gone up by about 50 crores.
Okay.
254 crores.
Thanks.
Thank
you so much.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
The next question is from the line of Samyak Shah from Dineros Cap. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, my first question was on the revenue. So, we've done 146 crores in Q1. So, do you think we would cross about 600 crores in FY24? Like, what is your expectation?
We don't.
I would like to cross 600 crores most definitely, but typically I would not like to give any forward guidance. You can see how our quarter-on-quarter top line looks in with respect to the first quarter, and then projected out to arrive at an estimated total.
Right. So usually quarter four is the best for us. So that is what I was thinking. So that probably if Q1 is only 146 crores, then Q4 should be much higher. So would you agree with that?
Again, I would like to stay away from giving any forward guidance.
Okay. Okay. No issues. No issues. Anything you would like to comment on the margins as far as operating leverage is concerned, given that we operate at high utilization. So any color on that on the margin side?
So our EBITDA has gone up, which was discussed during my opening remarks. We had an EBITDA for Q1 at 94 crores, which represents a 180% growth year on year and a 16% growth quarter on quarter.
Okay. So given that, you know, about wind that we've been talking about, given that 8 gigawatt would be added every year. So I was thinking that if the industry itself is growing so fast, then probably our utilization should remain elevated for the years to come. So any comments on that, sir?
Yes, if there's demand for cranes, the utilization will remain high. Sham, anything you would like to add to this point?
And consequently, the EBITDA margin will also slightly improve.
Okay, so no problem. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the question. Hello.
Yeah, hi Riya.
Hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question would be in terms of what are the payment terms recently since our exposure to wind has increased?
30 days.
For all the players?
Yes, for majority.
And what are the intervals at which the pricing is reset for a particular long duration contract?
So there is no provision to increase the price once the rate is locked in. So we have contracts that are 12 months in duration. We have contracts which are short term in duration, which is 3 months, etc. What we try to do is we allocate a certain percentage of the entire fleet towards building up our order book and securing long term orders. What we do with the balance fleet is to play in the spot market, as you would call it, or play in the short-term market to take advantage of dynamic pricing. and that's how we build up our order book and yield.
Got it, got it. And what would the percentage of long-term contracts in our current order book?
We can't disclose that.
We don't give this data out.
Okay. And what kind of expansion do we see in our industry, fleet expansion?
So in our company?
Yes, in the industry.
So I would say, as we are doing CapEx, our competition has access to the same competitors, same suppliers, etc. So as we are growing, our competition is also growing. But we still continue to retain our market share in term, in 400 and above, as well as in the overall lifting industry. I think the guidance we've given is about 50 to 55% in the overall market and 65 to 70% in the 400 and above. Bear in mind that this is an unorganized market, and therefore, you know, getting definitive data on the industry size is very difficult.
Right. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Anuj Sharma from M3 Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Two questions, primarily around risk. So, you know, our capacity building is generally based on demand, asset of demand, which we have seen is subject to quick changes and forecasting errors. And ratios which we base on capacity building is based on hindsight, which again can reverse quickly. So, you know, how does the management think of, you know, model the capacity building such that it is more objective rather than being subjective? And, you know, we would have seen many cycles in past. What has changed in our modeling now?
Should I take this question?
Yeah, please do.
See, basically, we do the risk assessment. There's a risk committee also being a listed company. We assess the risk before we take any capex decision, and we submit the financial projection with underlying assumption to the board of directors. We evaluate the financial projections also. See, basically, if you see, if you are comfortable with the business outlook, if you have a robust pipeline, if you have a robust order book, the chances of getting you failure is very less. See, if you see in the past, we had taken some amount of risk by doing a huge capex and eventually saddled with huge amount of debt. But taking a lesson from those, I would not say is a mistake, but taking a clue from those capex decision that we had taken in the past, now we have a robust system of doing the risk assessment before we are taking any capex decision. For example, we internally decided that our debt equity should not go beyond certain threshold. We should not take any capex decision wherever we see that the overall debt repayment should not go beyond certain threshold. We also see the order pipeline also. We also see what is the investment happening across all the sectors. So based on certain robust information, we take the capex decision. If you see last year, our total cash accrual was more than 230 crores. So, and on a debt repayment of 75 crores going forward. So we have a sufficient cushion in terms of cash flow where we can, you know, take a bit amount of risk, and there's a cushion available even if something goes wrong with respect to any particular industry. We have inbuilt cushion where we can easily repay or the debt, and we bring down, what is important is that we bring down the debt to a sustainable level.
Okay, that's great that we are evaluating past and making our models, but one request, could you make these more, could you disclose these thresholds so that we could also track where are we in terms of...
No, it's internal decision.
These are internal markers, and they also involve a lot of industry knowledge, so we are not comfortable disclosing this.
And one more follow-up question. So, you know, wind last time, as you rightly said, went more than 70% of our capacity. Would we want to artificially cap it, or we will go with the flow? Because you said the yields are common. And the
so we have a hybrid strategy in terms of building our order book. So we try and secure a large portion of our order book through long-term orders. And then we earmark a portion of our fleet for playing in the spot market. Now, typically, large mega infrastructure projects, be it a wind farm or a petrochemical refinery, or for that matter, the elevated, the high-speed railway, or a cement plant or a steel plant, we typically look at the duration of the contract, that customer profile, the creditworthiness, etc., and then we deploy cranes across such sectors, and then we use the remainder of our fleet on a first come first serve basis to push up the utilization and increase our pricing power. So artificially capping any one sector would be detrimental because it would have an overall impact on our pricing strategy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Rishi from DCPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You have any plans for fundraising, equity or something?
No.
Right now, all our funding requirements are met by Shyam, met by the bank, sorry. And we are borrowing 70% of our CapEx requirements and funding 30% from our internal accruals. But okay. As of today, we don't have any plans. If there's any needs, subject to board approval, we may raise funds.
Okay, thanks.
So there, I think that's the hour. So I would like to conclude by thanking everyone for participating in this Q1 FY24 analyst and investor call. It has been our pleasure to answer questions, and we sincerely appreciate the faith and trust that our shareholders have put in us. This is Rishi Sanghvi, Managing Director of the company, and with me was Mr. Shyam Kajile, Joint Managing Director and Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sanghvi Movers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.